This week in the parish of Bourses and market structure, ASX chairman leaving at last, Euromarket integrity isn't what you think, but liquidity begets liquidity. Lawfare means a false start for Kalshi, and the Flash Boys are going options trading. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 263. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the Bourse business, sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in BitCarnage, we were discussing anonymous public support, amongst other issues. Of course, in the meantime, the FTX founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, is looking to have his legal case set aside on appeal because apparently he's innocent. The hapless Caroline Ellison, meanwhile, asks to seal supporters' info at her September 24th sentencing as her counsel pleads for no incarceration. As per our past coverage, for example, Exchange Invest 2786, La Ellison did a blame storm herself in court, where I noted, ultimately, it's a plausible crescendo for the prosecution, and wielding our old friend, Spreadsheet 7A, it allowed Caroline Ellison to infer that her ex-bo, the bloke who promoted her to run his in-house market maker to FTX Alameda, was a rotter in business. That's rotter as in fraudster, although I can see there is a decent argument to be made the rotter was also a rotten businessman. There is no criminal issue to being incompetent in business, which can certainly be ascribed to FTX and SBF, methinks, but at the same time, it's a touch tricky to entirely suggest La Ellison was without any blame in the fraudulent implosion of the market-making arm she led and the FTX group as a whole. This week in Legacy Exchanges, liquidity begets liquidity as the parish maxim akin to the cephalogical laser focus, it's the economy, stupid, championed by James Carville as he helped Bill Clinton to a popular Democratic Party presidential victory. Arguably, it's even more so. It's like gravity, as memorably demonstrated by Sir Isaac Newton, summarised elegantly by Douglas Adams in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The ships hung in the sky in much the same way that bricks don't. NYSE President Lynn Martin noted the liquidity point in response to our LinkedIn echo of the long post updating the competitive mirage thesis from Exchange Invest during June. ICE produced a press release last week which rather reeked of exasperation at the claims by some to be winning the Eurostair battle in ETDs. Exchange Invest broke the issues down painstakingly once again this week, but in summary, it seems some people are excited that Eurex has about 200,000 contracts all of open interest, where ICE has 500,000 contracts in the very secondary cousin of the dominant market in Eurostairs, where, that being Euribor, ICE has 16.2 million contracts of open interest. Net-net, Eurex is a rounding error, which has convinced the gullible it is winning. The dig down into the data infers to me something very simple, and that's at the heart of the ICE corporate DNA, which we could surmise as the "it's the customer stupid," to once again paraphrase a James Carville zinger. ICE concentrates, spelled O-B-S-E-S-S-E-S, on its customers in a way no other exchange on earth does or ever has done. Analysing the TLD winning at OI clearly suggests the commercials are with you. Remember, as Lynn Martin has noted, liquidity begets liquidity. Anyway, the scores on the door, specifically at record highs, open interest. Easter! ICE on September the 11th, 500,000, that's 66% of the Easter open interest. Eurex, that was on September the 9th, they captured 26% of the open interest at 216,301 contracts, hardly a patch of the 500,000 of ICE. CME, meanwhile, they have a modest 68,521, also on September 11th, about 8% share. Note, ICE's share of open interest has gone from 17% to 66% in a year in Easter. That being a year where the narrative in some circles is we have a new battle of the Bund and ISIS losing. Go figure. On Euribor, a snapshot for some perspective. Volume in Euribor, 3.6 million contracts on September the 12th at ICE. Eurex, 66,000 contracts on the same day. Open interest, 16.8 million contracts on the 12th of September. Eurex, 108,000 contracts of open interest. Not even 1%, also on September the 12th. It looks right now as if the Eurostir battle has been lost by Eurex. Can the European Union find a way to skew the business into Frankfurt? On a free market competition, Eurex has definitely proven the loser so far. Meanwhile, over at Nasdaq, Adina Friedman made great points about how fraud could provide a fabulous growth fillip. The headline in Fortune ran, Nasdaq CEO, US economic growth would be 0.5% higher if it weren't for fraud. Suddenly this week, a remarkable end to a long-running court case as the Indian authorities suddenly cite a lack of evidence to drop the NSE Colo investigations against individuals and the exchange itself, which date back to 2019. Also, the Economics Times reported, SEBI approves a 10x hike in NSE's share capital. Taken in conjunction with the above news of the end of the IT Colo cases, it would appear we have a clear indication we are, finally, after barely a generation of wait, witnessing the NSE IPO creeping forward once again. New markets this week. Two fabulous, incredible new markets being announced for launch. First up, September 23rd. That's go day for the latest BGC group competitor to the CME and interest rates around the world. FMX Futures Exchange is going to be launching. Flashboys Exchange, IEX, preps and options venue as the market booms, went the Bloomberg headline. Their PR newswire release saying IEX enters options market with top talent and innovative solutions. The rationale for those high-level hires, such as Brian Harkins and John Palmer, are now crystal clear. We reported those in Exchange Invest 2957 on May the 6th. The Flashboys Exchange, IEX, are moving into stock options. A very interesting dynamic to the growing IEX empire and most of all a fascinating analysis of market priorities in the modern age. I'm delighted to see the IEX team bringing some unique thinking to the dynamic US options market and look forward to the further improvement of depth and volume that appears as inevitable as the notion that we may have more options venue, even when IEX makes it 19 options markets and a total of 22 clearing venues using the OCC's CCP. If you're trying to get a handle on what's happening in the future of exchanges, well, looking backwards, Exchange Invest was proud to have launched a special edition inspired by my visit to ring the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange on July the 5th of this year. My original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, was the first breakthrough book bestseller in fintech a decade before that word held common currency. It's got 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the past quarter century in perspective alongside the original text, which is remarkably successful through the years. Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition by Patrick L. Young, that's me, published by Exchange Invest, is now available as an ebook via Amazon Kindle at a ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter the price of the original shorter print book a quarter century ago. Meanwhile, if you fancy some financial thoughts in between reading Capital Market Revolution's 25th anniversary special, check out our discussions with Moving Pictures, our live stream Tuesdays, 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time. It's the IPO video live show. Catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. This week, we had the pleasure of chatting with veterans of the futures exchange traded derivatives and indeed also financial IT industry, Maureen Downes and Jim Downes, discussing the future of exchange matching engines with Connemara Technologies, their firm. Coming next week, we're going to have IPO Vid 153, Dr. Armin Papazian. We're going to be finding value in the new space economy. Our finance book of the week this week is The Ultimate Road Trip, Adventure Capitalist with Jim Rogers. After biking his way around the world, he made Adventure Capitalist The Ultimate Road Trip with his then fiancée, now wife, Paige Parker, sharing their millennium adventure, driving his sunburst yellow custom-built Mercedes to see the real world from the ground up, the only vantage point from which it can be truly understood economically, politically and socially. A classic book, really well worth a read, ladies and gentlemen. Get your copy of Adventure Capitalist now. Don't forget, if you want all the news on the bourse business sent daily to your inbox, subscribe to Exchange Invest via exchangeinvest.com. It's last call, ladies and gentlemen, at the price of $375 per annum to join the exchange of information. With all the improvements we've made recently, our user subscription rate is going up in the fall. Product news. Ready your bets. Election gambling is going mainstream in the US. That's according to Politico. That said, no sooner had Kalshi launched than IBKR's recently launched ForecastX, which was seemingly eschewing political markets until the moment they went legal, both joined the political event election market trail. Then the blob hit back, and the regressive clunking fist of the worst CFTC commission in recent history gained an appeal stay. Kalshi's new political prediction market was halted as the CFTC appealed their loss in court of the previous week. We had a lot more on this topic this week in Exchange Invest Daily, but the bottom line is, after 25 to 30 years of false dawns, including many of them, it has to be said, promoted by myself, PLY, I think CFTC is merely delaying the inevitable on prediction markets, but then again, the Benham era finishing on another low note of failure is perhaps to be expected. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or, if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. Elsewhere in new products, exciting news from the OTC Markets Group. They've announced the official launch of OTC Overnight, expanding their global market access. Can OTC markets get more liquidity overnight in their micro stocks by following the Blue Ocean Trail, I wonder? Regulation news this week. Italy will be reviewing their corporate governance rules after shareholder pressure, according to the FT. While some very, very unsavoury messages have been unearthed by a Freedom of Information request about Gary Gensler. Emails and voicemails threatening the SEC chairman, predominantly because of his staunch stand on crypto. You can agree with or disagree with Gary Gensler, we've done both, but to threaten government officials seeking to uphold regulation devalues any argument to defend your cause, whether it's crypto or anything else. This amounts to appalling behaviour, which once again demeans the crypto crowd as blockheads. Over in career paths, ASX announced a new chairman as Damien Roach finally retired. While breathing a hearty sigh of relief that one useless cog in ASX is heading off into the sunset, the reality is the blight is bigger than any one man or woman's failure. Inverse decimation may be the logical order of the day now, even if it means good people go, according to that classic Sprecherian post-merger mantra. And that leaves us over in Big World. On Monday, September the 16th, we were marking Japan's Respect for the Aged Day, and what's a better way to keep your mind sharp in the third age, or at any other age indeed, ladies and gentlemen, than a good board game? Scrabble is ideal to keep the mind sharp, albeit players and keen players need to be aware. The new official word list was published recently, the first update in 14 years. There's something for everybody on the list, with sitch and newbie, short for situation and person new to a job, bound to cause some controversy amongst the older generations. Besides, I thought it was noob or newbie, spelt N-E-W, not N-O-O-B, i.e. CUDA may cause a great sound of tisk-tisking amongst the older generation, while I like grammable, where something is suitable for social media sharing on the pictorial websites. Esport is there, as is AVI, an abbreviation for avatar. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for joining and listening to me on this EI Weekly Podcast 263. You can join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, the exchange of information for the business of bourses at the water cooler of the market structure. Or if you have a new exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only.
The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.